Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
And I'm Chemda.
Ladies and gentlemen, what can I tell you? Today is a day featured on Adult Swim, the Hot Mess Comedy Hour. Breakout artist at Caroline's Comedy Club. I've seen it, and I'll tell you what, without exaggeration, perfection. Hannah Boone. How you doing, Hannah?
Hi. I'm doing very good now.
She just fainted and was like, that's me. Okay,
hi. So, you know, in the, you have your hierarchy of comedians, and a big deal in New York anyway is to be featured as a breakout star on the Caroline stage. Hannah was, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. I was laughing balls off.
He doesn't have any more balls. It's hard to date now.
I happen to be fairly close to the stage. That makes you nervous. Me anyway, as a comedy customer, because I'm like, well, I know her. She knows me. Do I have to plaster one of those, you know, half smiles? And I didn't, because everything was real, genuine, and it was fantastic. You should be very proud.
Were you able to see Keith in the audience?
Yes.
And?
And it was great. I actually really liked it. I was like, I can't believe Keith is here. Yeah, it was good. And I was like, I had, of course, a ton of friends in the audience. And they were like two of them left the green room and they were like, good luck. And I was like, well, it's up to you. So thank you. Good luck to you.
Well, I liked it right away. Hannah goes on stage and she's like, I just want to let you know all the, and it happened to be raining that day. You know, when you live in New York, you're almost looking for any excuse not to do something, because you can always do that thing. You don't understand that. You just think you can. Obviously, Hannah's going to perform on a sunny day also. I won't go out tonight. So Hannah says, well, I got all these phone calls and everybody telling me last minute that they can't be here. Like, I'm supposed to do something about it.
And, yeah.
It was just great from the beginning. Also, you can see Hannah if you have our VIP program, you can download the last Keith and the Girl live show that we did. She was part of that. And
You Can't Say That game show.
The You Can't Say That. What?
Yeah, you can download both of those if you're part of our VIP premium.
Oh, my Lord. All of this we're given? Yep. That certainly doesn't seem right.
Go to keithandthegirl.com/VIP. It's under the live shows segment.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, also joining us today from the podcast, The Book of Yay. It's about the great Kanye West.
He nailed it. He never nails it.
I know. It's the first time. Usually it's The Book of Yay. Yee.
It's not easy.
I can't get it wrong is the thing.
Chris Daniels.
What's up?
Chris, how exciting this is that
clearly he's off his meds.
Kanye, he's, you know, he's really out there. Is he only out there right now, you know, slavery was a choice, etc., because of attention for the new album and we got suckered in again? Because I remember this being a pattern, or is something really wrong now?
There's been a lot of theories. The craziest one is that it's a big form of performance art, and somebody really dove deep into like looking for all the symbols and like literally like pulling apart emojis from tweets to try to decipher like what it is.
And
I'm not buying it. Yes. I buy that he reached a peak, not peak, but like a critical like creative point where he wanted to do stuff, but also. Yeah, he probably was off his meds. There was probably like an imbalance. He's probably just still trying to figure it out, and nobody can check Kanye West. Like, who's gonna be like, hey man, like you see like with his friends, like he'll post tweets to people like, maybe you shouldn't. He'd be like, I'm sorry, but you're interrupting my creative space right now. I'm gonna do what I want. It's weird.
Now, what about, because you're a fan? It's not like you're just doing this just to report the Yay news.
No, we started this as fans and like wanted to.
So what happens when he says something like slavery was a choice as a fan, as a black person in America?
As a fan and as a black person in America.
I don't know if you knew that that's you.
That is me. I just got it. But I feel like the initial reaction is like, I'm done with this shit and this dude, because it's, I didn't get into it for all this, and I got too much stuff that I do on the side that like deals that pertains directly with, you know, what he's talking about and like the consequences of being that ignorant.
Dealing with youth, right?
Like when he talks about slavery as a choice, he went on, like if you watch the whole TMZ interview, he says way worse stuff to me than that. When he's talking about Chicago and Trump, is kind of dismissive of like the work people actually do. That's more serious than that he's not really a part of. I think it's really weird how he's, you know, people think back to like the first picture he took with Trump and everybody got really like hype and upset about that. And he just kind of disappeared for a couple of years. And then in that 2 years, all this stuff has happened. Now is, you know, a critical point with like midterms, and here's Kanye back, and he has all these opinions that he has no, admittedly, he admits he has no real knowledge about. He has no like real political views.
And so do you want to continue doing the Book of Ye?
Yeah, we're going to, I thought about not doing it, but I figured that, given that, you know, he is a voice, that is big and influential, I think it's also important that we keep doing what we're doing for like as fans for our enjoyment, but also just because, you know, at least people who are influenced by him and come to us and have been coming to us, you know, for our reaction and our thoughts, we can at least check that on our level.
Yeah, I load up a podcast. I'm one of these people. As soon as I hear the news, unfortunately, I listen a little faster. I'm like, slavery was a choice. How do I feel about that? And I got to download this podcast, you know? Do I like this new album? I can't tell. I got to download the podcast. Are you nervous? Like, you're going to find him being too much that you won't even be able to listen to his music? Because if Bret Michaels...
For a while, I did. Like, I listened to Kanye West regularly. He's, like, one of my favorite artists, so I listen, like, you know...
It's in the rotation.
It's in the rotation, like, every week, like, most days. And when that shit was going on, I was just like, I can't listen to your voice because... All this stuff you said before, like, don't even sound real. It kind of invalidates all the stuff that we kind of liked you for. And then kind of comes right. Like, and then the new album comes out, and it's just, like, curiosity. And, you know, a lot of people have, like, tried to, like, cancel Kanye. And I hate that, because every time you try to cancel somebody, they get more popular. It's a weird side effect. So you have people who are like, oh, he's canceled. And then you have most people who I actually think who still want to listen to it and are just curious. And then, like, most black people, I feel like, we just listen and just be quiet. Like, if you like it, if you don't like it, you're just gonna be quiet about it.
What do you gotta do? Not hear it. It's 24 minutes long. You can do the dishes.
Yeah, I mean, that's an episode of a show, or right. That's an episode of Blackish right there.
So that's what you can counter it with after. What do you think of the album, or are you scared to say?
No, I ain't scared. We talked. We already did the episode. I kind of love it.
Do you like how I influenced that? Are you scared to say?
Nah. I mean...
And then we'll get to Hannah, but I want you to be honest, okay, Hannah?
I kind of love it. It's weird. It's like... It makes...
Is it possible for you not to like it?
Yeah. There's a couple songs on there I don't really care for, admittedly. But it's like only 7 of them. So it's like... The ones I really like I like more than the ones I don't like. But in general, I kind of love it.
Does it pain you to say that?
No.
No?
It's just...
Because your face is saying yes.
It just makes everything like...
Am I being not consensual?
No. I think whenever I talk about the album, I have to be like, man, but all this bullshit in between. Like, why didn't you just put out... What is all this extra stuff for? It really doesn't like make sense. And all the stuff that everybody was mad about doesn't even get addressed on the album. He never really gets into it. He doesn't bring up Trump. He mentions like the slavery was a choice thing. Just to say he's not going to talk about it. And then the rest is all about him being bipolar and being a father. And some of that stuff, you know, if he makes himself vulnerable, he makes, you know, decent to good music out of that. It doesn't have anything to do with all the stuff really anybody was mad about.
When we hear the song, the last song, the one about having a daughter and not realizing you have to respect women until you had one in your house.
That was a weird song because it sounds good, but I'm also like, this is just, you don't want nobody to have sex with your daughter, man. That's pretty much all it is.
Yeah, you're right.
That was the whole song. He was like, man, I really hope you don't grow up and look like your mom and then people look at you because you look good. That's
right.
So that was strange, but it's like, it's a good song, it's just like a weird message.
That's so weird because you're clearly sending a message to your daughter, hey, try not to look pretty, it's a mess out there. How about going like, I hope you look the best and that you're able to run all my businesses.
Yeah, you know, you roll your eyes when even the great Barack Obama is saying, well, as a father of two daughters,
right?
But then at the same time, you realize how dumb people are and you do have to make them think every angle and say, listen, as a father, shouldn't you, blah, blah, blah. So I get it, as dumb as it is.
Yeah, because I think some fathers are like, oh, as a father, I should find my daughter attractive. I feel better. I knew that would be a little weird. But listen, there are some fathers out there, let me tell you.
I mean, like, it's weird because I get, like, the protectiveness of, like, my I have a younger sister. She's 5. She's the same age as Kanye's oldest daughter. And, like, I remember her first day at preschool, my parents sent me a photo of her first day, and it was her sitting next to this kid who had a Grover, like a nice-ass Grover-like doll, and she was laughing at some shit. I'm like, what the fuck? He said it was so funny. Like, why does she like this dude so much? I get, like, that's like a protective instinct mm-hmm. I already have.
That's funny. Mm-hmm.
So that's how I'm going to be forever, but I'm not going to be, like, I'm not, like, so terrified, like, oh, God, I was a terrible dude in my 20s and 30s, and now I got to worry about somebody having sex with my daughter. It's like weird. It's a strange message.
I do think that's where it comes from. My dad raised me very much. Well, my dad raised me with, like, men are horrible. They're pigs. They'll just lie to you. Don't ever have sex because they're bad. But I mean, I took that. I was like, oh, men don't have feelings. Perfect. I'll have sex with all of them. And I was the monster for a long time. When I was like 24, I was like, oh, I hurt your feelings? Weird.
Right. Nobody told me you had any.
Yeah, I really thought it was like, I thought it was like a... Nick,
it's true. It's true. What I think about a lot, especially with the Me Too movement, is when I was younger, all of those things that you just said, I was taught about men. And what I think about is you as boys turning into men, you heard that too. So all we heard growing up was men are going to try to get it. They're going to be aggressive and weird about it. They're going to lie and say anything they want to get into your pants. So boys are going, I got to lie and mm-hmm. say anything I want to be in your pants. And so when that started happening, which is like, pretty much how sex happened. I was just like, yep, this feels shitty, so it's probably good.
Yeah.
Like, shitty and good. That was the problem. Like, it felt so good and also, like, probably something bad is happening right now. Right.
And you're sober now for how long? A year?
Just about to be a year.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
And
is this the longest sober?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I've never hit a year.
And your parents met in a mental hospital, not working at it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. No, right? No.
So you know something, some of that has to be in you. My point is, good for you for looking into this. And now you're looking into sex and love addiction. Is this because Andrea was going and you're her pal? Or do you think you have some of these hangups too?
I have these
I like that he's calling them hangups.
Hangups. I have some of these quirks.
I'm like a hanger.
definitely. I have like... I just noticed, like, when I got sober, well, it's fine. People used to tell me, even my dad, which going back to that, I don't want to circle back to that
told
too much.
Told you there were guys.
But my dad was like, you know, you're always are dating someone. And I was like, no, I'm independent and fierce. And then I was like, no, I am. I'm always. And when I'm not, I'm upset because I'm alone. But then when I am, I'm upset because I'm so obsessed with whoever it is or whoever they are that I can't concentrate on anything else.
So either way, you're losing your time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Losing time either way.
Mm-hmm. And so when they read, like, so in a lot of anonymous meetings, they'll read why you would potentially qualify. Mm-hmm. And I went to an SLA meeting as well, and they listed it, and I was like, ugh, just put a check mark next to everything.
I know, and they list like 40 of them. God. It's not in AA, it's like 12. It's like 40. We walked in late, and she was like, number 37. I was like, it's crazy.
I said I have a problem.
Stop yelling at me. I just started yelling. Stop yelling at me.
No crosstalk.
How often do you go to a meeting or therapy of some kind?
Oh my God. I'm in intensive group therapy outpatient program 5 days a week. And then that makes me want to drink. So after that, I go to AA.
Oh man.
Yeah, I know. It's a horrible way to live.
Are you nervous as an artist that's affecting creativity?
Yeah. Right now. Because, okay, I think it was affecting my life to have too many mental problems, because that interferes with creativity. And so I think right now it gets worse before it gets better. So you dig everything up. That interferes with my ability to perform because I'm so raw all the time. But then it's like there's certain things that are getting better. And I'm noticing it's like, okay, we dug everything up and now it's going to start. Like, it's like re-breaking a bone that healed wrong, right?
Yeah.
So I think eventually it'll like help because I won't be obsessing about the wrong... I don't know. There's like a lot.
You'll be obsessing about being on time for a meeting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I obsess about... Well, my psychiatrist was even like, he wanted to put me on meds for how badly I obsess. And I was like, and he was like, but you're afraid it'll affect your career, right? And I was like, yeah, because who would put this much work into anything if they didn't have a problem with obsession?
The good news is, audience, I don't love you. I don't need you. So I guess fuck off. That's the beginning and end.
I found peace. So it's like, I can't find peace. Like, come on. But I just want to focus it better or something. I don't know.
I was reading a news article. I was reading a headline about Vince Vaughn was just arrested for DUI. Mm-hmm. And as an alcoholic, these stories please me. You know, nobody died, so who gets hurt? And I'm like, good. Good that I don't drink anymore. Like, I like seeing stuff like that. Do you?
I like when my friends are really hungover. Or I usually leave parties early, but if I stay till like 4 a.m. and see what goes down, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not puking, you know, like if it's like a nice little like, okay, cool.
I see somebody stumbling to the cheese plate at a party and they're picking up like debris, like they're studying it, but they're really just centering themselves.
We go to very different parties. There's brie at your parties.
I didn't mean to brag.
Wow. We have like bunk Molly at my parties. Cool.
Hey, two different kinds of fun.
Right. But you can picture the stumbling just the same. And it does. Oh, yes. And it pleases me very much.
Yeah. Well, I saw recently someone I know who got really wasted sent some really embarrassing text messages, like, you know, at 4 a.m. And I don't miss that. I remember just logging on, like, getting onto my phone, being like, why did you leave? Like, it's just like, and the next day being like, oh my God, like, don't you think I'm pretty? It's like the wrong number. It's like, oh.
I had somebody send me some of those like drunk 4 a.m. texts. But somehow when I like addressed it in the morning, I'd be like, yo, what is up? What's up with this? And they'd be like, oh, I deleted it. I'm like, what?
Oh, yep. I used to do that because it's like, I don't, because if you black out, then the next day you don't even know.
That's why I'm like, how did you train yourself to make sure that you deleted the files?
Practice, baby. <evidence. laughs>
Kind of Watergate shit is this?
I know somebody that does that.
Because then I'm like, I can't really be as mad as I want to be because you don't even know why I'm mad. You just be like, well, sorry. I don't know.
The proof is could be right there in your hand. It's like, I doubt it. I'm like, well, I can tell you how to find out.
I can screen cap right now.
Yeah. No, I deleted it and that's apparently done for everybody.
How do you deal with that? Do you just kind of put it aside like she didn't mean it? Or are you like, well, now I got to kind of watch my language with these
I think now you just there's a certain sensitivity to be like, you can either write somebody off completely, be like, well, fuck this person, or you can be like, maybe this person needs help, and you can.
How did you deal with it?
Kind of both. Where I was like more sensitive, like, you know, maybe take a step back, examine that before, you know, anything happens between me and you. And then they got mad at that. And next thing you know.
Wait, were you considering it?
No, I think they just took my stance as like an insult, kind of. I don't know. It was weird.
What happened, Hannah, when you would send stuff like that? Like, hey, I think you're cute. And then
that's what I said.
It's something about a penis in my mouth. But yeah.
Listen, I've been out of the game 9 years. Last I checked, we say you look cute.
You just come over. You see what I got for you. It's like a lot of being ignored. a lot of just like no response. A lot of like, because when that was happening, it was a lot of like, oh, Hannah again. Or like, I mean, if I was, I would date the kind of people that were exactly what I needed. Whereas like, if I wanted to start a fight, I could. So I would start a fight and then we'd engage. Or like, I mean, I don't think I ever successfully texted someone and got something I wanted. It was all, I would sometimes like for drugs too, I'd like text an acquaintance. So I'd met once, be like, you give Molly? And they'd be like, sorry, who is it? And I'd be like, you know, come on.
By the way, and with autocorrect, you can't tell anybody's swagger. You can't tell if they're messed up for the most part, right? That's the way I see it.
Nah.
That phone covers a lot. You don't
some
think
stuff
so?
Some stuff you can read just the tone.
I mean, autocorrect isn't going to change what my goal is with the text, you know? I can't be like, oh, autocorrect, I meant to say I respect you so much. Have a great night. Yeah. Like,
is it fair to say that every 4 a.m. text that people get is a is something that should be tossed away?
Depends. I mean, I get them from my crazy parents, but I'm like, oh, you're crazy. Well, yeah. So I should toss away. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. I guess anything for me at 4 a.m. probably. I'm like, if I'm up and trying to communicate with people, it's a weird time.
When you were here, Hannah, a couple months ago, February, you were talking about getting rid of all your dating apps.
Yeah.
Now, good for them that they let you sign up at any time without putting in new information, right? Don't worry, we're ready for you.
Is part of this because you need 1 year sober in order to date again?
No, because I was seeing my ex-boyfriend for like the first 6 months.
Smart.
I gave up, I think, yeah, right? It was like really good. And I think I just, it wasn't that it was the suggestion, it's I saw why that's a suggestion. And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
But then you started to, just before your first year, going like, yeah, it's been long enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried for a second. And people are, they're just as crazy as ever. And I can't, again, like the being raw thing, I just can't deal with it. I'm like, this is,
what happened? Was it
one guy I slept with once? I met him and then 2 days later just texted him and went over there at night. It was like, I met him at a show. He was like working the venue. And we slept together, it was fine, I went home. And then like 2 days later, he invited me back over. And I was like, okay, I'll be there at like 11 p.m. And he was like, fine. And it was like getting to be 11. I was like, I'm like 30 minutes late. Sorry, I'll be there in like 30 minutes. And he was like, why not just make it 40? And I was like,
what?
Okay. Sorry. What? And then when I was 10 minutes away, I was like, hey, I'm like 10 minutes away. He's like, if you're actually 10 minutes away, cool. But if you're not, never mind. And I was like, I am, but I'm going home. Because yeah. You seem mad and I don't know your last name. So like, I'm not gonna have a talk.
What
like,
a stickler to have sex.
I know, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Am I late to suck your dick? I'm so sorry. Just like, it was So I went home and then he calls me and I answer. And he was like, please come over. Like, I wasn't mad. I was like, you were. And I'm home. My shoes are off. I'm not going back. And then he called me like 3 more times. No. I didn't answer. Block texts. I never read them, but block texts to me. And it's like, I don't know you. I have just, here's what dating has been. I've watched men systematically destroy something that was going to be fine. Just, if you had just shut up for another half hour, it would have been fine.
This sounds like the dating equivalent of like that racist lawyer dude, where like, you could have just got you a sandwich, dog. And you just took this to like a whole nother level for no reason.
I have noticed that with women, they're like, just need to get laid. I'm going to turn on these apps and I'm going to be like fairly honest about it. You can't be too honest, it seems, as a woman, but I'm going to lead them into my vagina, right? Mm-hmm, so they'll be like, hey, I'm into Netflix and chill, whatever, like, you know, like a not subtle, but like cordial way. And they will systematically fuck it up.
Destroy it. It's crazy.
I've
read. These dudes bricking layups, man.
Oh, well, it's like, I think men are also taught, like we're taught men are pigs. And then we're also taught women always want relationships. So it's like a couple people, it's like after one or two dates, they're like, where is this going? What is this? I'm not into a relationship. I was like, well, this is condescending. Neither am I. Right. I just thought we were going on some dates. And now I'm scared because you just said the word relationship the second time I met you. So I'm gone. You know what I mean? It's just like,
I feel like these next couple of years will, like, anyone dating is only working on breaking stigmas and stereotypes. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's it. You guys are in there and you're the troop. You're like the front line, mm-hmm. going like, swipe right, swipe left. Okay, this isn't working for me anymore. Like, just the systems that I'm hearing about, that like before even meeting, here's my tits in the inside of my vagina. Okay. Like, I'm not judging it. I'm just watching it not work.
Yeah.
Andrea with the face. I've watched it not work.
You mean like the online thing? Or just...
Yeah, I mean, obviously online works also, but like people are getting ghosted and they're being disrespected and they're overly sensitive about like if you have two nice dates, like, I'm not trying to marry you. Like, oh my God.
I just didn't realize how emotional men are for a very long... Like, I'm really learning that men have a lot of fears about sex I was not aware of, and I'll never understand... I can't be empathetic to, but I can be sympathetic. But like, I didn't realize that men were so sensitive and emotional for the most, at least the ones that I've
met. Yeah, because this is a new generation of men. We grew up watching Meg Ryan movies.
Well, it's a weird combo of like Meg Ryan movies and like hardcore porn that you have full access to. So what I'm learning is like kids, by the time you reach 12, you've already watched a certain number of porn and it's not like, certain you know, number. Rated PG porn.
Yeah, it was a certain number.
Rated PG porn.
I think I found the highest number.
Yeah, I can't.
That's the thing. And so you're not watching and sex is not like regular sex anymore. Mm-hmm. So they're watching this outrageous sex. And because they're not getting information about like regular sex, they're not talking. They don't have to talk about sex anymore. All they're getting is deep throat shit and like very hardcore stuff. So the first time they're having sex, they're expecting, you know, we knew to expect awkward, like it's done in mm-hmm. 2 seconds. Both parties are going to feel weird, even if both parties are not virgins. But now both parties feel like some, like they need to be choked by a dick. And like, you know, it's, yeah. it's just so much.
Well, and the anxiety. Yeah. I feel like there's so much anxiety. Like I just see men get terrified. Either like a man.
Are you guys terrified?
Yeah. Like, what are you?
Yeah. Let's talk to them.
I don't get this. What are you like scared? Terrified
like
in what
Zen
way?
You're like a Zen weirdo though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
I'm doing well in bed. Like nerves like that.
I don't know. Every man that I've tried to date, I've been giving men like these anxiety attacks and stuff. Like, I don't, maybe it's something I'm doing.
What are you saying? Are you looking at their penis and going, don't do it?
I have been in a relationship before where, you know, the sex wasn't so good. And then like nerves would keep me from getting a hard on and that would keep eating itself.
Mm.
But then you just realize, hey, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. You're going to look stupid. Everything's been fine.
Well, this is new for me because I've always like mostly had sex with men my own age. So it's always been just sort of like, we're going to have sex. But the older I get, the more like men in their 30s and stuff are it's different. I don't know. They're like more anxious or there has to be like some kind of talk always. And it's like, this is not, I just thought we were going on dates and maybe we'd have sex and that'd be fun. And they like freak.
So with that said, are those apps back in your phone?
Yeah. You bet.
You don't have to say welcome back with balloons, right? It's kind of insulting.
No, it's like, and when I every re-download is like okay. I'm not like excited. And I don't really, like one guy I was actually willing to meet up with and like the night of, I really didn't want to go and he happened to like ghost me. I was like, where are we meeting again? He never got back to me. And I was like, well, perfect. And then I got home and the next day he was like, so sorry about that and had some excuse. And I was like, nah, there's no excuse. You're not a person I want to.
Yeah.
You know, you could text me, never mind or whatever. So it's like the apps do, they leave more room for people to be like, well, you're not real. So I don't need to cancel on you. I could just not go.
Right.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. You don't really exist until it's like, but everybody has their own point.
Are you on apps? I can't even imagine.
I'm not on them right now. I feel like each time I've tried it, I probably tried it like 3 times and I only last like a few weeks. I don't know. I usually don't have
success. I can't see
success.
You pursuing. I could see you landing into.
Yeah. I do more of that. Like I've gone on dates with people.
And you didn't even know it was a date.
I don't know. It's just this.
That's the worst.
I'm just guessing.
The last time I was on an app, I remember like I knew I was on it for like 3 weeks and I went on 2 dates. The one that got me off of it is I went on and it was we went to an arcade, like one of those barcade places. And it was a really fun date. And at the end we're sitting down at the bar, I'm like, this went really well. And you just start crying. Just start crying. And I was like,
Well, sometimes Frog is your game, and when some dude comes by, and
I mean, like, I kicked their ass in Mortal Kombat, but I didn't think it was that deep, dog. Like,
well, you don't get to just keep sweeping like an asshole. She was not a move, jerk.
Wait, what'd she say? Like, why was she crying?
She was. She
just left. He didn't know.
I didn't leave. It was mostly like old She brought up like old relationship stuff on like the first date, and it was just.
Oh, that's not.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking. That's what has happened when I tried to date again.
But I could easily see like that was a girl. But I could easily see like guys doing that too. Like not bawling at the parquet. Maybe I don't know. But at least giving
like bringing the emotion,
having their own anxieties come out in some way too early.
Well, and they want, I think they expect as a woman for me to be like, oh, what's wrong?
Oh, this is so great. You're an emotional one.
I'm going to take care of you. And I'm just like, okay, no. Like, no. Like, I'm not here to expend any energy on your spirit. Like, well, I don't care.
To me, it's like, it seems cruel, but to me, it's when you're doing that, you didn't even begin the work yourself. You're just putting it on me.
Because right.
If you did any of the work, you would know that this is inappropriate and I can't sincerely help you. I can be kind and I can help you tonight and you'll have a better time, but you're just putting your bullshit on me.
Yep.
You didn't take step one.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Thank you for listening, everybody.
No, exactly. I'm not glad, but I'm glad you have a crying story. So you get what I'm saying. Some people are melting down.
No, I love hearing these stories. I love that this guy got a DUI. I love things it. Exciting that's happening out there.
I would have loved to have been like in a ride along with the cop who pulled over Vince Vaughn, just to be like, "You ruined True Detective. That shit was garbage, dog."
You think he talks fast sober?
Oh man!
Picture a couple beers in him.
But also picture arresting Vince Vaughn.
I think it'd be easy.
Yeah.
Him by himself. Like Owen Wilson's not even there. Like, man, this ain't even. Where's your friends? Where are the Wilsons? Where's Luke?
I follow, of course, Hannah Boone's Twitter account. It's Boone Comedy, Boone. And she rates me. I'm Hannah. Nice to meet you. Him. Yeah, we've met. Me. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. You just meet so many people, you know? We continue having sex. I'm going to guess that before these sex lines is like the that. True story. And that because I this happens to me where I'm like, oh, hey, I'm Keith. Like, yeah, we met. It's like, but we were standing next to each other for half an hour. You're still not now you should be embarrassed that I don't remember you. It should be, right? That should be an insult. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with these people? I don't think it's us and us not caring. We meet a lot of people. I happen to forget your name. If you want to push it, you made it so I don't remember you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start crying.
I think, yeah, it's just an ego thing, I think.
Never, ever have the response to that, yeah, we've met before. Guess what happens when you say that? You remind me that you're not memorable and that I don't even need to remember this moment because you're still being boring and shitty. Bye-bye.
There's one guy I keep seeing him every so often. I just go, yeah, you're the one I keep forgetting. Yeah.
Well, that's something. I guess that's better than hi, right. Nice to meet you.
You don't even know, do you?
Nope. Right. Now what? Now let me look you in the eye, say no, and you come up with the next line. Because guess what? Every time we met, you didn't come up with anything, which is why I can't remember you, your face, your name, or any interaction. Bye.
I go, oh, my roommate. he goes, no. I go, then how the fuck would I know?
I just start, if it's a white guy with brown hair, I just consistently guess Matt. And I've been right. Like, Ben or Matt is kind of, you got to go that way.
That's a high percentage shot right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm usually right.
An Oregon man was on LSD. He was so high, he thought that he was in the video game Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, no.
When he stole a car and led cops on a 40-mile chase. Anthony Clark, 23.
Whoa. LSD 40 miles?
40 miles is pretty good.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive.
He swerved on and off a highway, crashed through gates, and drove the wrong way and over spikes because he told cops as they arrested him, they thought he was in a video game and he was trying to be caught. Okay, so don't tell me games do not affect violence at all. I thought he was playing it.
I like the end where he said, no, in the game I was like trying to get caught. Like, I win still. No, this is what I wanted. Thank you.
Is he like going through gates and shit? And he's like, this is harder than I remember.
Where's the hooker I get to beat up? Right, yeah.
This is more like a 4-star level of cops after me.
What button do I need to press? He starts pressing all the buttons on his car.
He's probably just really appreciating it. Like, the development is just like fantastic on this. This really, they did a great job.
What's funny is he's probably holding his steering wheel like it's a
controller.
A controller. So he's going like left, left, up, down.
Yeah. X. It's the horn.
I only believe he really thought it was a video. Like, if he really thought it was Grand Theft Auto, he would have dove out of the car and tried to get another car. That's the only way I remember it.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. Yeah. Is to go car to car.
Yeah, it's called Grand Theft Auto.
He's like, what's my net? Just tell me my mission. Because sometimes they don't tell you your mission. Like, I just don't know where to go. In real life, I would just be walking around.
Yo, I did that in Grand Theft Auto a few times. So I just be like, I don't really know what I'm doing right now. And I would just try to walk at the same pace as like the people on the street. Just be normal.
Oh, you are. You do have like a lot of tea at home. You're so zen.
Just like, I'm just going to go just explore the city, I guess.
That's his version of being on acid play.
Yeah. I get mad when I play war video games. And I don't know where I'm supposed to go next. And then, you know, some of these games, they have computerized troops with you. Mm-hmm. And they go, Sergeant, get your shit together. I'm like, get my shit together, you motherfucker. This is Call of Duty 8. That means I already saved the world 7 fucking times. And honest to God, you would just go, Sergeant, get your shit together. You'd be like, hey, how about I look at a map this time?
There's a few games like that where, nope. Like, you'll be fighting or, like, you'll get hit. And they'll be like, man, like, there's some shit, like, you're sucking over there. Like, what? Yeah. Motivate me. Help me win. Yeah. Help us win.
Oh, let me guess. I'm going to have to just run out and see where we get shot and then go that direction.
That's not what you used to do in the Army, Keith?
We were never trained that way.
You sure?
That would be a terrible technique to just run out and get shot so you find out which direction you're supposed to go.
The games got too good. When older games, when you were running the wrong way, you wouldn't be able to run anymore. It would just run in place. And they were like, okay, obviously I have to turn around. They don't give you that. You just run forever.
They don't do me that favor. Right.
Wow, you guys are so brave. Sounds hard.
Yeah. We've been through a lot.
Right.
You don't know our trauma.
You're expecting Chris or I to cry? Yeah. After we deal with that? We gotta get shot in the leg just to find out where to go next. I'm reading about, by the way, when I rip out little articles in the newspaper and I say I'm reading about, this is all my reading. The Embassy of Israel sent out a tweet to the Islamic Republic after the Islamic Republic threatened to destroy Israel. You know, just a little, how you doing? It's Thursday, death to Israel. And then the Embassy of Israel put a meme out from Mean Girls, where the main mean girl says, why are you so obsessed with me? I thought that was funny.
Everybody wants to be Wendy's Twitter account. Right? So bad.
So the if you follow if you follow the Embassy of Israel.
I mean, now I do.
You see the mean girl say, you're so obsessed. Like, I'm going to kill you.
That's the next
you
great comedy job, tweeting for fucking Israel.
You are so obsessed with me.
Excuse me. You are very obsessed.
Slicha.
I haven't finished my point yet, but you can't get yours out either.
I was thinking about it, and you seem obsessed.
and then insult to injury, in Iran, they're not allowed to watch this movie, Mean Girls. I'm not exaggerating.
Why are you even watching the Mean Girls?
That's my Persian. It's good. It's good. Thank you.
Hey, we just kicked out the guests again. They're starting to find this rude, but we need your undivided attention. It's just Keith and Khemda.
Hey.
You guys are really coming through for us. Thank you for hitting the subscribe button and giving us 5 stars for our Saturday podcast, My Opening Line.
Please join other amazing listeners and fans of the show and help us continue this momentum. We need 100% response on this. Please search your podcast platform for My Opening Line and subscribe. Today, don't wait. We need everyone to do it at the same time, which is right now.
Thank you so much for your participation. Thank you so much for your support.
We love you.
All right, let's get to the top movies, okay? That's everybody's favorite. You know that. I know that. I don't got to tell you.
By the way, before we go into this movie thing, Keith and I have been working on this like exclusive after show thing with movies. It's going to be on our YouTube channel. So if you're on YouTube, look for us, Keith and the Girl. We're going to launch all this stuff pretty soon.
Khemda looks at a trailer that we don't see, a movie trailer, and she describes it.
It's on silent.
And since she knows nothing about actors or stuff, it's very funny to hear her try to explain something.
I'm the same.
Sometimes she gives the trailer away, like, this would be interesting if you're a teenage mutant. All right, somebody gave up, right?
Yeah, so our YouTube channel is going to be relaunched soon, but subscribe now, turn on that bell, and you'll get all the stuff when it comes out.
Well, speaking of older movies, there's a Pretty Woman musical.
No.
Oh, good.
And it's always odd to me when I hear an R-rated movie is a musical, you know? Do you bring your family? And there's the scene where Richard Gere is eating out Julia Roberts on a piano? I don't know.
You don't?
I don't know.
How about Matt Bray told me last night that there's an, and I really want to throw, I don't even want to, I didn't want to say this on the show because I don't want anyone to know about it so it just dies where it is. There's an Alanis Morissette musical. I'm offended. I'm offended. And I'm here! What? To blow you in a theater? What is happening?
Oh,
is
you're allowed to get blown in. You're allowed to get blown in the theater and they won't kick you out.
Oh, that's cool, dude.
What could possibly be the Alanis Morissette musical? And she goes to India, everything's fine. The show's called Thank You.
And you know everything's literal. She has, you know, the actress on stage will have one hand in her pocket, the other is giving a peace sign. And
In fact, like her hits aren't really, she writes like someone talks. I don't know if it's like her, but there's this one song. It's not as popular, but it kind of gives away how she writes sometimes. As we were talking outside, it was cold. We were blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, these are just thoughts in your head.
Well, that's ripe for a musical, right?
I get that, but it was just none of it like goes together. It's like, you broke my heart. I went to India. I'm fine.
Hey, you know,
what kind of storyline is this?
You know the actress.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
I hate you.
Are you going to? Would you see
it? I'll probably see it. I'm thrilled to see everything.
She'll be there for 1 week. Tickets, $2 million. And then.
Sad to miss it, man.
Yeah. Oh, no. The actress. Everything's going to be spelled out. It's Broadway, right? So it's going to be like, I do like this guy, but my heart's tender right now. So he's uninvited.
Yeah. Yep.
Dun, and then the musical start. Yeah.
You know what? Like after I get offended, I'm just like, oh fuck, I want to star in this. I love her music. Like, wait a minute. Do I look like Alanis? No, I don't. Sigh. Wait until they do like the Middle Eastern Alanis.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
Yeah.
I can't wait to just be entering and walking down the aisles like Kimda in disguise. Like, is that you? Just like glasses and a fake wig on.
Yeah, it's only I think in Boston now. So I'm like actually considering going. I have to.
What a heel turn.
Wait,
I have whiplash.
I know. I'm fully disgusted. I don't want to support it, but it's Alanis.
Is this like Rock of Love? And Bret Michaels, of course, is one of the best in the game. So I have to see the stupidity.
Yeah. I did see Alanis in concert. And for the record, I'm not a concert goer. I like to sit down and hear the music and like maybe cry, but I don't like, you know, standing up and pumping my fist and singing along because I hate that everyone sings along. I just want to hear you and it, like be emotional about it. I went to an Alanis concert and I was like, I guess she sang the songs. Mm. I don't know.
Like, because it wasn't, people weren't engaged?
I don't give a fuck about it. I don't know.
You're not a concert goer.
You don't want to share this experience with other people.
I don't understand what we're sharing. Everyone's just yelling. Like, mm-hmm. I know that song! I'm like, we all know the song. We all paid tickets to
be here. I hate live music a lot. And people don't like when I say that.
I know. I don't like saying it. Mm-hmm. I don't like admitting it because it makes me feel like I'm a monster because it should be beautiful. But especially big concerts, I like going to little cafes and like seeing that.
Now, Hemda has performed big concerts. Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Hammerstein Ballroom. I can go through the whole list. So at the end, is she like, I guess if you liked it. Take care.
I like being on the stage part.
Yeah, that's different.
But she's like, but you're all not up here. I don't get it.
But also, not to shit on everybody, but a lot of concerts are garbage also. Like, you're singing the song, you're not really... Like, it feels like what's the difference between you being here and me being at home. So, mm-hmm. I hate that. Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry. I'll tell you who never gave up. Tesla.
System of a Down. That was a good concert. Nearly Died. Super fun.
I bet
you
that was really
fun. You keep doing this
fun.
Thing where you talk about you don't like stuff at the end. You like, but that's great. It actually is kind of good, though. I actually kind of like it.
I'm so dizzy.
Sometimes you got to wait it out. If a lady's about to dump you, just stare at her.
Just Werner Herzogger.
Yeah,
I'm open-minded. I went to the Metallica concert. What did I do there? I literally just stood there crying. Like, this is so great.
That's oh, what like, I this do. Is so great. Wow, right. That was another.
Yeah. I can't wait. I would love to see you just like tell somebody you don't like him. I'd be like, just give it a minute. She'll come around.
Oh my God. Honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, okay, so when I was younger, my friend's mom had tickets to, is it Julio Iglesias? Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know his work. She goes, I have free tickets. We can go backstage also, blah, blah, blah. I went. She's a cool mom. I went and I'm sitting there just crying. I'm like, he's singing in Spanish. I don't know. This is so beautiful. Maybe I do like concerts.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. This is what I deal with day in, day out, 13 years now.
These are the fastest breakthroughs ever. Just like record time.
Yeah. I'll make a point. And he goes, well, I disagree. And I go, why don't you just wait? Because I think you agree.
Oh my God. I think I just realized I love live music.
No, no, I'm alone. I still hate it. I keep looking at the camera.
I went to Liz Fair. Honestly, that was boring. But wait a minute.
That was backstage, and she's actually my roommate.
Wow. I did go to a lot of concerts now that I realized. Beastie Boys, Run DMC. That was fun, but then my dad was like, we're getting the fuck out of here. What is this? Mm.
Okay, so it's hard to tell that one if she liked it. Yeah. I think she liked it.
She has to go see. You have to go to another concert to figure it out.
I feel like a big moment is happening. I want to give you like a paintbrush, and so I want to see what like is coming out of you.
So anyway, I got tickets from Broadway on Thursday. I think I misrepresented myself at first.
Well, I feel good.
Wow, I thought Kanye was bipolar. Right?
Oh, man.
All right, number one movie of the weekend, Ocean's 8.
I think I didn't like that, but wait. Mm-hmm.
It's, yes, men can do heists, but can women do heists?
Well, they can bust ghosts. I don't know. We might be pushing it on this.
Bust ghosts, and I think now we can say that movie Ghostbusters remake was terrible, right?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Enough time went by. We don't have to pretend it's great.
I was with, who did I see it with? I saw it with, you guys know Jordan Temple, right?
Yep.
I saw it, we saw it, and we were like, man, let's get out of here. And we just went and watched Tarzan. Right? And that was also bad, but Samuel L. Jackson was in the jungle, so I don't know. It helped.
Mm.
Number two movie, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Mm. It's still interesting to me when they do these movies out of order, right? Meaning that when you watch the regular Star Wars that we knew as kids, then they do these prequels, but they give people double-sided Jedi swords, and that only means they decided they didn't like double-sided Jedi swords, right?
You gotta sell toys, man. I didn't see the Solo movie, and I don't think I care about. I'm like a nerd, but I don't think I care about Star Wars enough to. Like, I'll take time before I go see your Star Wars movie now. Because it's like, what are you selling me? I got to find out where Han Solo got his classic belt. Well, like, find out where he got his gun. I'm like, who cares about this shit?
I knew he'd get one.
Yeah.
I didn't see the other movie and go, well, where'd he get his gun? Well, now I got to know everybody's gun, right?
Well, they got bought by Disney, so they're extra.
Well, the bad guys, there's Mickey Mouse is in it, kind of takes you out of it.
Yeah.
I like that Hannah brought her one fact about this. She's like,
I was like, I have to contribute.
I'm participating.
Let them know about the business acquisition, Hannah. Let them know.
Yeah,
There's back deals going on. This is a $4 billion deal. You know, a lot of money.
Number three, Deadpool 2. We'll start with Hannah. Thoughts?
I'm going to swivel my chair.
Swizzle.
Swizzle.
Deadpool 2, what did we think? Chris?
It was good.
You don't want to say how bad it was.
It wasn't bad. It's just, you know, it's like the same shit from the first one for the most part.
Right.
It was the new characters are good. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Great review.
Dog, it's a lot of superhero movies, man. It's hard to top, you know, shit that's happening.
Yeah. It was bad is the answer.
Look at how Keith stares you down. Are you going to admit that it was bad?
Listen.
Or am I going to have to say
I got to keep options open. They kicked TJ Miller out for the next one, so maybe I can be in it. I'll just replace TJ.
All right. Let's start a hashtag. Get this going.
So that's a long hashtag. Please replace me with TJ. I don't know.
So there's the TJ Miller rape accusation, right? And so
I thought it was a bomb threat.
Bomb threat's separate.
Both.
No, what? Now you know he was probably involved in rape, okay? Now you're caught up.
Okay.
So I guess they were going to start taking him out of stuff. They're not going to take him out of stuff because he made some silly phone call about an Amtrak train, right? There had to be more to it.
I thought that was serious. I thought he was facing huge fines and like prison time.
Well, the big thing is rape.
Right.
And
I'm going to guess he's not going to spend any time in jail for any of it.
Probably not.
And now, I guess they're going to take him out of stuff. But in the meantime, these movies were done. So he was huge in Deadpool 2. He was huge in Ready Player One. I was like, oh, fuck. It kind of bummed me out seeing him. Like, oh, come on, really? Can you put Christopher Plummer in everything?
Do it.
And redo it. He's in Ready Player One and Deadpool 2.
Do you think his career is done?
If they took him out of Deadpool 3, then yes, his career is done.
I think without those accusations, it would still be really soon done soon.
Because he keeps acting up?
Oh, yeah. He's just on the decline, like, you know, in every way.
People deal with a lot when they think someone is charismatic, though. You know, it took a long time for Cosby to come down.
But he's not. Yeah, no, it's true. I guess, but I guess I'm speaking from, like, he's just in person. It's like a...
Oh, like you don't even want to be around him.
Ugh, it's bad.
So now there's a Mr. Rogers documentary.
Yes.
And he's dead, so he can't do more stuff. And it turns out we...
What do you mean more stuff?
So he can't do more activities, and some of those activities being bad.
Okay.
So my point is, we have an honest-to-God good person that we could look up to, right?
Yes. A legend.
And you saw the documentary.
It was great.
Did you stay till after the credits?
I did not stay till after the credits. Oh, boy.
Maybe he does do more. But just for in the movie, in and of itself.
I don't need the post-credits Mr. Rogers scene. I don't need to see the puppets come back and be like, well, wait, there's more. We got a song about kindness. I'm like, I'm good.
Other outtakes, like, I told you the hangers I use. Does anybody know my foot size? I do this every fucking day.
Talk about, like, not wanting to say, I don't want to say how boring I always found that show, even as a kid. I hated that he switched his shoes. I'm like, this guy is so fucking anal. I got to watch him change his shoe. Who needs to change shoes when they come into you have house shoes that you have to lace up?
He needed to blend the song with something. If it was just the song, people would be like, this sucks.
He switched his goddamn sweater.
But then you got the melody in here.
His home outfit.
I know. I thought he was so boring.
Yo, y'all got to stop dissing my dude, Mr.
No, I loved it. I thought it was very soothing. I don't know why. I thought it was soothing.
Yeah, and by the way, give it 2 fucking minutes. Tinda will not find it. Everybody calm down.
I mean, he was a nice guy, so it's nice to have like a pleasant thing. But I didn't like when he visited people. I thought every meow meow, I was like, what are you saying? Like, who cares about this conversation?
That's a cat. So that's stupid.
Meow meow taught kids that you shouldn't jump off of the roof and try to be Superman.
Meow 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 meow, don't fall off the meow roof.
No, he was the greatest. That's Daniel Striped Tiger, and that was actually the best Muppet out of all of them.
Yeah. That was the one they talk about. Like that was like him. That was the like him trying to put himself out there through Daniel Tiger. That was the most relatable to him in his childhood.
And Daniel talked about suicide, right? There was some deep stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think
wasn't that stupid crap.
It talked about suicide, it talked about divorce, it talked about thinking that you were the one they get into a lot, or at least the deepest was probably they had that song about him thinking that he was a mistake to be born.
Wow.
I feel
like who was thinking what?
It was Daniel Tiger and the girl, I forget the girl's name, and it's like he's been like, oh, I kinda feel like maybe I'm a mistake, and she's like, no, you're not. And then they do this like kind of duet song where he is kind of cool and kind of sad at the same time, because it becomes a duet where she's not like, he's not coming around, he's just singing about how he thinks he's a mistake and she's singing about how he's not, and it's just blended together.
Did you cry?
What's next movie?
So he's human, see? All right.
This is what keeps him zen. Every once in a while, he cries. Once a month.
When you leave that movie, is everybody like super polite? No, you go in front of me. Let's make this world be nice.
Yeah, everybody was super kind and genuine to each other for about 2 minutes. And then everybody gets outside and you back on the city streets and you got to be hard again. You got to dust that off.
I saw the movie Bully some time ago. Do you remember this?
And
you're following the true life adventures of some nerds getting picked on. It centers around a kid that killed himself after being bullied. And I was bullied. And it's some of the saddest shit that you're watching. When you're watching, there's the kid that you're
following. This is when the camera is on.
And there's cameras on, right? And it's the bullying still going on, the punching in the bus and all this. And the kids, and somehow, you know, the mom hears about the kid getting, you know, punched and beat up in school. And, you know, he said, hey, my friend punched me again today. She says, well, why do you let your friends punch you? If they punch you, then they're not your friend. And he goes, well, then I won't have any friends. You just want to fucking ball. And then I saw the movie with Brother Love, and we left the theater. And we found out later, we were both thinking the same thing. We see some little kid in the theater, and we both wanted to go to him, like, anybody in this theater picking on you? I'll smash their head to the fucking arcade right now.
It was really sad because there was a moment, and Keith, you pointed this out before I even watched it. And then when I saw it, I was like, God damn. This is, first of all, in that scene, the mom didn't even finish that conversation.
Yeah.
That was the end of it. That was it. Like, oh, okay. Like, why did you bring it up to begin with this little kid? He just got vulnerable by saying that back. Can you imagine as a kid going, well, I won't have any friends? And then your mom goes, oh, okay. And then there's this other part where the principal gets involved and she should be thrown off a bridge because he got picked on. And you know, and Keith, you
I almost hate the word picked on. You know? He's getting punched. He's getting beat up.
Yeah. He's terrified. He's getting, what, not bullied. What's like the next level? It's a terrorist act already. He's terrified every time he goes to school. And it's always obvious. You always say this. So it's obvious, like, who got picked on and who was the one picking a fight.
Yep.
And the principal gets in between, like, the bully. And she's like, we have to talk. So the bully and the one being bullied, she was like, are you guys going to stop? Are you guys going to stop?
I hate that.
Yeah, that happened to me.
She made them apologize to each other. And she made him shake the hand of his bully, knowing as an adult, you're looking at him, the bully's like, man, fucking attitude. And this guy's like, just shocked, like, you want me to shake this guy's hand? Like, it's a little, you can throw this guy out a window with your pinky.
Yeah, he said he's sorry, now blow him.
Yeah, he said he's sorry. Why are you being like that? No, That's the kind of attitude she was taking with this kid.
Yeah, I had a guy is punching me, and my teacher goes, knock it off, you two.
Yep.
I'm like, he's about to literally knock it off. He's knocking my head off my fucking shoulders. I'm sorry.
I hate that thing, too, where you're like, I didn't, like, we're, you know, the classic, like, I didn't start it. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It's like, well, it does, though.
Right.
Yeah. It matters a lot.
Sometimes. It doesn't always have to matter. But why don't you teach us the difference, fuckface?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I hated that. I remember that teacher. I hated that teacher.
Mm-hmm. You still do?
Yeah.
She's a bad teacher. That's a bad principal. I don't know what the fuck you're doing in a school. I don't know how you're leading these children, leaving them to wolves.
When you hear people saying that bullying's not a big deal, is it because they went through it so everybody should have to go through it? Or were they simply not bullied?
I think they don't want to address it. Because if they admit that there's a bullying problem in their school, they have to come up with something better than shake hands.
Right. But I mean now, like, and of course I hear it with comedians because, you know, you got to be tough. But like, oh, what's the big deal? You're getting... Especially that computer bullying, like turn off your computer. I'm like, you don't mean that, do you? Do you mean that?
I didn't know how much people get bullied. I thought it was, and it was very much part of, like, you know, growing up, you knew that freshman year, even I was afraid in my freshman year, and I was a girl, and I knew it happened more to boys. So freshman year, you know, you're going to get thrown in a locker, you know, you're going to be like pranked, your pants are going to come down, like whatever. So I thought that was bullying. So I thought, like, oh, that's, you know, classic shit. It happens to everybody. It'll go away. You'll learn respect. It's like fraternity bullshit sort of thing. But when I saw Freaks and Geeks, it kind of cleared it up for me. I realized the psychology behind it and how weak you can be as a person. Because I wasn't bullied like that. Mm-hmm. I was made fun of here and there, but I never had to be terrified like that. That's, I mean, wow, man. I didn't know.
You guys hear about the actress from Star Wars? Mm-mm. There's in the last one that came out in December, it was The Last Jedi, and it was like the first like Asian like lead in a Star Wars movie. Her name's Kelly Marie Tran, I think. And this past week, she had deleted her social media because she was getting harassed by like just fucking like Star Wars geeks. That movie came out in December. They've been doing this shit for months.
What kind of bullying?
Pretty much, I mean, from you at the top, you will have the people who will say, well, I just had criticisms about your character in the movie, all the way down to like, I don't want to see no Asian woman in my fucking Star Wars movie. You're a piece of shit and die. All the way to like that depth.
I can take those three headed dragons, you know, like I can take the monster with 17 arms, but you're telling an Asian got through. That's what you're telling me.
It's so insane.
But it's weird because
I'm fine with a Jabba the Hutt, but you're telling me I'm looking at a squinty eyed bitch.
And by the way, it's Star Wars, but only white people from Earth.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like I go to a lot of like Comic Cons and stuff like that. And I read that story and I was like, man, I just would love to punch a Star Wars fan in the face because you're ridiculous, man. Like a lot of these dudes are just like the same grown dude. I'm like, first of all, why do you care so much about this shit? in the first place to, like, you want to harass an act, like an actress who had like a great opportunity and took it and did well with it. Like, if you don't like the movie, just move on. But these dudes are like incessant. But that's like, I feel like nerds are the worst bullies. And I've had to deal with like that for a long time.
I turn that question on to you, Keith. Why are nerds such bullies? Like, do you think it's because they got picked on? Because I don't think it comes from the same place. Because it's a different kind of picked on. It feels like they would do that anyway and feel justified because you're ruining their thing.
It's entitlement.
Yeah.
This is
my thing.
This is a thing that I care about. And
I need it to be exactly so.
It's made for me.
Right. Like, it's the only thing they have.
Pretty much.
I think also with the Star Wars stuff, I have a friend who's super nerdy and into Star Wars, and he tells me about that shit that goes on too. And he's like, he thinks that a lot of those people aren't actual like hardcore Star Wars fans. He thinks they're just hateful people and they're latching on to something.
There's that too.
To be, you know, to like troll, I guess would be kind of the word for it, but like more than that, to like find a place to be like really hateful.
Yeah. When Black Panther came out, there was an entire, you know, internet movements dedicated to like bringing down their Rotten Tomatoes score and shit like, but in doing that and in the criticism, like you would read the page, the criticism would be just the most racist shit, you know. And I don't get it. It's weird that people actually dedicate that much time to it. I mean, I know why people are racist, but it's weird how
it runs so deep. Mm-hmm. Like, you're so bothered. You're so bothered that you actually, I think they think people who are of a different racial ethnicity or whatever are actually a different species.
No,
it feels like that.
It's this like progress is a burden to them. That's the thing that like gets me going, because I don't. People want to do well for themselves. They're like, nah, that don't make sense to me.
Yeah, yeah, it's like fear based for sure.
I'm trying to look at people's insides more, and boy, do I hate everybody. This is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, we're all the same, right?
Yeah.
So take that with you.
So deep. So deep.
Look, I'm not here to put my views on people, but grow up. And I'm sorry if that's controversial.
Wow. Yeah.
But okay. Okay. You had control over that? Okay. And sleep on that for a minute. Okay? I'll be going to the, I haven't thought about Broadway. What's the thought? It turns out you love it. All right, everybody.
Wait a minute.
Thank you.
I hear an echo.
Hannah Boone, you can follow online, like I said, Twitter and Instagram, at Boone Comedy. The sketch comedy group you want to be following is Pepperoni Zone. You do these funny skits. I laugh. And Two Drunk Minimum, of course, is in your VIP collection, where they talk to messes about being sober, being new to sobriety, being drunks for a while, fucking up. It's very good. I mean, it's you think I got excited about that one actor getting a DUI charge? Oh, this show is fucking great. And Chris Daniels, you can follow at Sir Chris Daniels. That's a title from England he got. That's on Twitter and Instagram. And the podcast is Book of Ye. It makes sense of everything that doesn't, which is Kanye. And by the way, what did we think about the great Kim Kardashian meeting with Donald Trump? And, you know, and don't get me wrong, I remember, you know, when Obama met with Paris Hilton. But now you have the two of them talking in the White House, and it ends, you know, and Kim Kardashian says, I read a story about a woman being in jail for life, a drug charge, not fair. And Trump did let this person go. Is it just a big publicity circle jerk? So good, this news happened. But the whole thing is like, I don't know. It seems weird, like I'm being tricked.
Good question. Chris?
a good deed is always a good deed.
Right.
And,
so who cares?
And she got played still.
Yeah. So. Right. Because because it makes it look like the two of them, Kanye and Kim, are behind Donald Trump.
Yeah, they go be in some campaign videos. She got interviewed by Van Jones on CNN, and he asked her, he's like, okay, so like, he does this great thing, but now all of a sudden you're in it, and he's, what do you say to people who say he used you, and he's going to use you on like, you know, the new campaign videos and stuff, and she's just like, oh.
Like,
no.
Oh, she didn't even think of that? Her family using everybody? She didn't even think of that?
Like, I mean, like, it sucks, but they give him validation.
Yeah, of course. And
they don't even know it. That's pretty sad.
What do we think about that first song on Kanye's album where he says, I thought about killing you. I think about killing me and I love myself. It's more talking than singing. He says, I thought about killing myself and I love myself way more than you. So let me be crystal clear. So you have that going on. You're the wife of Kanye. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, that family happened to know O.J. Simpson pretty well. Is that a scary song? Or if you dated him, you went, it's just art. Like, how long can you play dumb?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like at this point, a pretty beneficial coexisting relationship.
Right.
It's kind of, I don't know. It's all slimy to me. Whatever.
Right.
I like the song, though. It's good.
I feel like we should quote Kanye to Kanye, that line that says, I ask, but because I'm not sure, does anyone make real shit anymore?
Right.
I throw that back at you, Kanye.
Yeah.
Host of the comedy show Auntie's House.
Yes, June 30th. We're back.
June 30th.
Yeah.
And you have comedy.
Why Auntie's House?
It's just the vibe. Okay. You know, most people have like that one cool aunt whose house they go over.
Oh, that reminds me, bro.
What?
You know what's coming up? Father's Day.
Oh, that's right.
What do we do?
God, look how much everybody cared. It didn't come up once until now. Sunday.
Do you want to hang out or something?
I mean, I guess.
I'm on fucking, ever since, you know, that Kate Spade, I'm on suicide watch with all my friends.
Somebody get me out.
You don't have to hang out with Keith if you don't want to.
Is that I don't want to hang out with Keith?
The premise is weird.
We'll go to a baseball game, you know? You ever play catch with him?
My dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
What didn't you get to do?
What didn't I get to do?
You want me to watch you do stand-up?
No, my dad never saw me do stand-up.
That's what I'm saying. And I'll be like, that's great.
I don't know. Hannah might have been cool you watch her do stand-up. I don't want you watching me do stand-up.
All right.
I don't want to look down. I would be like, sorry, everybody. This is over. I got to go.
Hannah will tell you I'm supportive. I give thumbs up. I'm like, you're doing great.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's real weird. Oh, God. We had to kick him out.
How come you're not offering to be Hannah's dad?
Yeah.
He's live, right?
Yeah,
kind of.
Well, that's kind of the premise. I'm substituting for live people. That's not fucking weird. All right, everybody. Thank you. Don't forget keithandthegirl.com/VIP. In there, you can download the last Keith and the Girl live show we did. You can download the game show we did. You can't say that. Pod Wars edition. It's a lot of fun. We'll talk to you soon. keithandthegirl.com